Welcome to Coffeehouse Shots for Spectators Daily Podcast. Deadlines have now passed for candidates to stand for Peterborough in the by-election next month, and we've seen yet again another test for the new party Change UK, a test it has failed. It hasn't managed to come up with a candidate to stand in this by-election. Nigel Farage's Brexit Party, however, has. I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So, Katie, I mean, sure, Change UK was not going to be able to get its act together for the local elections, neither did the Brexit Party. Both of them were standing in the European Parliament elections. But if Change UK, previously known as the Tiggers, were going to reshape politics more broadly, they would need to be at least contesting by-elections like this, surely.
I think there is an argument to be made that if you want to change politics, it's good to be involved in general votes, elections, and so forth. And that was the reason that Change UK at the last minute decided to field candidates in the EU elections. That's a decision that I think they've then pondered whether they were a bit hasty, because they've had many problems with those. But the Peterborough by-election, they had plenty of time to prepare for and pick a candidate. Now, learning some lessons from the EU elections, there is an idea amongst politicians at Change UK and other pro-EU parties, rather than compete against one another for that vote, the Remain vote, they'd be better bandying together, picking an independent candidate who represented what they wanted on Europe, and all endorsing that person. Now, clearly that's a nice idea for all of those concerned, but politics and people of experience in politics will know that these things can fall apart very quickly. And that's what happened yesterday as the deadline approached. The candidate in question, at the last minute, decided to withdraw and not go for it.
What, personally? So if this wasn't Change UK pulling her out, this is the candidate thinking, this is a crazy idea, I can't go through with it.
He made the decision that, I think, well, there's various reports, but one theory going around is Labour put a lot of pressure on this person, saying that by standing as the independent pro-EU candidate, all they would do is drain support from Labour in a very tight Tory Labour marginal, and potentially put someone from the Brexit Party or the Tory Party as the MP for the area. Now, this meant that person withdrew. So then, with about an hour or two to go, the other parties who were involved in this, so the Lib Dems and the Greens, had a backup candidate. They already had someone who could stand for their own party. So all they had to do was send off the form saying, this is the Green Party candidate, this is the Lib Dem candidate, and even this is the Renew Party candidate. Probably a party listeners have heard of less. But Change UK had no plan B. So Change UK are now the only major, if you want to call them major, I suppose it's debatable, but they're the only largest pro-EU party that is not represented in the by-election. And I think it is another misstep, because it means they just don't have a voice in this.
Okay, so James, the the Tiggers, Change UK, For Change, Chucka Cant, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, they're falling apart, aren't they?
One of the big surprises is how bad they are at this bit of politics.
It's not that difficult to find a candidate for an election.
It's also a failure here, because ever since the previous MP for Peterborough, or the recalled MP for Peterborough, was convicted of a motoring offence, it was quite clear that a by-election was becoming highly likely in that constituency. So it seems very odd that they didn't lay the groundwork so that they had, as Katie said, a backup candidate in place. But I think this also shows another problem on the pro-second referendum side, which is its relationship with the Labour Party. They know that they can't get to a second referendum without basically nearly every Labour MP voting for it. And that is a necessary but not sufficient condition for a second referendum. And the problem they've got is that they are determined to avoid upsetting Labour. Now, I actually think standing a single pro-Remain candidate, particularly if it actually costs Labour the seat, would have sent the Labour leadership a message that they are, if they don't want to back a second referendum, they will pay a political price. But people involved in the second referendum campaign think the best way to win Labour over is to play nicely, rather than trying to go for a slightly more direct route. And I think that is the problem here, which is how do you win Labour over to the cause of a second referendum unless you show them that they're going to suffer some political pain from not backing one?
And Katie, by contrast, Nigel Farage's Brexit Party looks like a very well-oiled machine, though they have chosen not exactly a kind of salt-of-the-earth kind of C2 voter candidate, but somebody who was on a television show about millionaires.
Yes, secret millionaire. And they've chosen a businessman who they believe is someone who represents some of their party's values.
It's not very anti-establishment, though, is it?
I don't think the Brexit Party is necessarily trying to say they're anti-establishment in the sense that everyone who goes for their... goes to stand for them isn't establishment. I mean, you have Jacob Rees-Mogg's sister, Annunciata Rees-Mogg. I mean, sure. if you want to make a case that these people are not people you normally expect to see in politics, I don't think their candidate selection really suggests that. I think what their candidate selection suggests is they want people from a really wide range of backgrounds. They're trying to make the point that anyone, whether you're on your left, right, whether you're working class, whether you're upper class, has a problem with the idea of ignoring a democratic result. I think that's the general message from their candidate selection. And there was some talk that they would go for someone more high profile than the candidate they've chosen for Peterborough, and there's talk of Nigel Farage going for it, perhaps even taking one of their MEP candidates who has a better media profile but was picked before they really thought about entering.
But they wanted Katie to make sure that whoever it was, because he stands a reasonable chance of being elected, I think Brexit Party are second favourites, that they didn't want another Douglas Carswell situation whereby the only MP the Brexit Party would have would be somebody who disagreed with Nigel Farage. So it would be slightly more important for them, for they got somebody who would not upstage or contradict Nigel Farage than somebody who was particularly a sensational performer at the by-election.
Yes, exactly. And also, I think they didn't want to be accused of playing political games by moving an MEP candidate to Peterborough because it was suddenly seen as a better seat or something, or a better opportunity. So I think that's why, in the end, they have gone for this candidate. Also, I think there was a point in that this person is an ex-Tory, and that, again, is trying to send this message to Conservative voters that actually the Brexit Party is perhaps what now represents them better.
Now, James, if you don't want Jeremy Corbyn to become Prime Minister, you are listening to all this with horror, because Change UK succeeding was a reasonable, probably the best single way that you were going to split the Labour vote and stymie Corbyn's success. Take Amber Rudd, for example. Her best hope of holding on in Hastings was that a decent Change UK candidate would stand and split the Labour vote. Now, if this isn't happening, the Tories should not be, I put to you, in any way experiencing schadenfreude over this, because they're seeing their best chance of stymieing Corbyn collapsing in a subrieish pile of disorganisation.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought that Change UK weren't going to win a general election, but they would take enough off Labour in various key marginals to make it easier for the Tories to win. I think the big question is, which the local elections began to suggest, is, you know, for how, at the last general election, Labour's ambiguous Brexit position was definitely a net plus to them. It basically worked on both sides of the Brexit divide. I mean, interesting question. So local elections suggest that that is less evidently a plus for them now, but there did appear to be a bit of a backlash from both Brexit-backing voters and Remain-backing voters. Now, I think the interesting question to see about the Peterborough by-election is, you know, a lot of that Labour vote in Peterborough is quite London commutery. Does that vote now start moving over to the Lib Dems because they are disappointed that Labour are not more clearly for a second referendum and all that? Or can Labour continue to straddle these two positions in parliamentary contests quite successfully? I think a lot of people will be watching this by-election to see whether that's the case.
And do you think it's recoverable, or is it just too late? They started off reasonably well, but it does seem now that something inside has died, and it's pretty hard for them to hide that or to fake it.
I think it will be very difficult for them if the Lib Dems come significantly ahead of them in terms of number of total votes and MEPs, because then the Lib Dems will emerge once again as the pro-Remain party. You know, they are really doubling down on that. They have gone for a very crude but simple message in these European election
that
campaigns.
That message being what?
You could do it through the medium of my...
I don't think that's particularly advice.
The message is so crude that we can't, James, you say, repeat the official Lib Dem Europarliamentary slogan on this podcast. Now, I know somebody who would disagree with you about this and who last night did disagree with you about this. Here is Sir Vince Cable defending his slogan cover your ears, listeners, bollocks to Brexit. Except even he couldn't quite bring himself to say it. He could, however, condemn James for not quite saying it.
Anecdote of the day was the tweet from the political editor of The Spectator, who said, who started, I don't want to be prim and pompous, and then proceeded to give a masterclass in primness and pomposity.
The Lib Dem leader there saying that the joke is on you, James. I suspect he wouldn't quite fancy your chances as a Lib Dem candidate this time.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be able to get the message out on the doorstep.
So I think as they double down on this message, if they were to come ahead of Change UK in terms of votes and MEPs, it's quite hard to see what Change UK's opening is if the Lib Dems are reviving themselves. And remember, also, the Lib Dems are due a new leader soon. Vince Cable has said he'll step down. And you know, can that person kind of build on this Lib Dem momentum? I think the kind of question is this, has somehow magically almost the taint of tuition fees and coalitions suddenly passed off them?
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, on the iTunes store. Also, you can rate and review us. I set aside a chunk of my Saturday mornings reading these reviews, and thanks to those of you who did leave some reviews for me to read last Saturday. We'll be taking all of your thoughts in. Thanks to John Connolly, who produced the podcast, and thanks to you for listening. And it's too-